As we came to Dundee this morning, I already knew this, of course, it was the Kilt Walk. And, you know, we already saw some individuals who were doing, I think that's probably the longer one, from St. Andrews, coming from St. Andrews and walking to somewhere in the neighbourhood here. There are other walks, shorter walks, from maybe somewhere, Monifieth, maybe, I'm not sure. But everyone has to wear a kilt. Now, I'm not an expert in terms of kilts, and I shouldn't even be daring to go down this road, but there are ways in which you can read a kilt. I'm not talking about the kind of modern kilts, which are much more just a pattern that suits yourself, but traditional kilts, there's a way in which you can read them. You look for the undercheck. You look for, there's usually in a traditional kilt, three broad bands of colour, two horizontal and one vertical. And then around that, that's the undercheck. It's almost the big picture of the kilt. You'll be leaving church this morning staring at all these folk, and they'll be wondering what... But some of them might be modern kilts, remember, so just, hey, hang on there. It might be a modern one, which is just a pattern sometimes. It's traditionally three broad bands. And then onto that, because often it's what's onto that, we see sometimes narrow strips of other colours, sometimes brighter colours. And we can often just see that because they kind of stick out often quite clearly. We're looking at Psalm 73 this morning, and when we come to reading the Psalms, there's 30,000 words, plus. When we come to reading the Psalms, it's good to be able to understand what the undercheck is. There are three key experiences of human life woven into all the Psalms. Yes, it's about our relationship with God and what God is like. But there's three experiences, the paradigm of three experiences that make up our story that we find in the Psalms from cover to cover when we look carefully. I'm not sure if I'm very happy with the words I'm using here, but maybe it's the best words I can get. I think the first colour, if it is a colour, that we see in the Psalms is the word orientation, that we live our lives wanting our lives to be the way they should be. We work at that, don't we? We try to make our lives the way they should be, that in our lives there should be fairness. We should be able to flourish and have choice and have purpose. Good health, or reasonably good health. And a real sense of belonging. You know, all of that is, we sing the opening verse of the psalm, is God is good. That's our song. In the seasons of orientation, God is good. As we try and hold all of that together, though personally I have doubts, we're always being nibbled away at issues in all of these different areas. But the psalm writer presents that picture of life and the days and the years when it's exactly like that. And everything seems to be more or less in place. And we journey through life. But of course we know, we know all too well that there are times of dislocation. I think that's the word I would use. That something breaks into that picture that I've given. And life isn't the way it should be, bluntly. And of course, the Psalms deal with that thoroughly from cover to cover, of that theme that runs right through. It could be health, it could be relating to marriage or family or whatever. and it could be many small things, actually. I guess slipping and falling on a rock and having to... My day was dislocated. Thankfully, not my wrist, nor my shoulder. But in many small ways, we see that kind of power of dislocation nudging in to our stories. I personally remember a time in my 20s when something happened. It was to me, but it affected both of us deeply. And you kind of wondered for a moment. And it was dislocation. And I always remember neighbours nearby just had us round for the evening, not to explore it or anything like that, just to have us in the warmth of their home. As we slipped into that moment of dislocation, we were receiving the Christian gift of hospitality. No analysis of problems or whatever. Just, we love to have you around the fire and have something to eat. But I'll come back to that. For the psalm writer, dislocation, we didn't read that section of the Psalms. I think it personally is a health issue. I can't put my finger on it more than that. I think it's accompanied by a deep sense of bitterness in his heart about the godless and why their lives seem to be so good and why they seem to get off with any trials and challenges. But probably my feeling is from reading the words and studying the chapter, studying the psalm, that it is a case of ill health that he's struggling with and the limitations of that. And it's dislocating him. Dislocating him in terms of God, in terms of his relationship as well. Back to Chrissy Watt, because in her late 40s, you know, I built up this picture of this fabulous Christian and... But she's like all of us. I mean, had lots of times that were really tough. And her husband, she was maybe 47 at the time, her husband was lost at sea. Not uncommon in fishing communities in the 19th century. She'd already lost two other close members of her family at sea within about 18 months, 24 months. And she describes herself just walking away from her home and walking along the coast, winter, the grey sky, Buchan, northeast, it's the bit, it's the elbow, it's there, the map. And she's walking along there in the wind and the rain, bereft, actually. No longer sure how she could bring up the remaining family, the remaining children. And a young woman in her 20s comes out one of the cottages and says, Chrissy, what are you doing here? Come in, come in. It was a second cousin. In fishing communities, everybody's related to everyone. Everyone's a second cousin of somebody, you know. So there's a lot of inter-networks of people. And so Chrissy came into the house. There was a fire. And there was a cup of tea. And... maybe it wasn't scones, but something like that was baked. There's no record of any conversation in the book. But she comes out of the house at the end, and she starts to walk. She starts to walk back home. But I come back to my point, friends. That is, again, the profound example of the ministry of hospitality. Powerful. That young woman gave the older woman just tea and scones, a fire. And Chrissy starts to walk home, and she writes in the book, God spoke to me. Hope you believe that. God speaks to people. God speaks to us. And God spoke to her and says, I still have a purpose for your life. That's what God said to her. I've come to learn, I think that is the most powerful pastoral word you can ever give or minister to anyone else. God still has a purpose for your life. powerful. Even on the cusp of death, you can say that. To a believer, knowing what is to come, God still has a purpose for your life. And so she journeyed home. And we enter into that, the third undercheck. If it's been orientation, the way we expect life to be, and then dislocation, then this is reorientation. But it's not back to the way life was. It can never be that. But it is reorientation of our life. Essentially, in relationship with God and the love and the care and the intimacy of God who is with her, who has always been with her, of course. And the verses we've read is, of course, the Psalm writer. He's talking about that moment of reorientation. It happens for him in the temple. He went to church one day. It doesn't say God spoke to him, but I kind of think that probably is what happened. God spoke to him. And his life is different when you read the words of the psalm to the conclusion. He's at peace with the godless. That's God's business. I can leave that with God and those that are godless. He's sure of God, who's going to lead and guide him and direct him in his life. He wants God. I mean, it's almost a sense of closeness, of relationship with the living God, that is the best thing we can have. And ultimately, the sooner we learn that, the better. And it is in that moment of reorientation. He realizes life is all just ultimately about possessing you, being possessed by you, God, loved by you, in that intimate and complete and real way. None of this is just pie-in-the-sky stuff. This is the story of believers, not just this believer, but so many stories of believers. I don't think, because he talks in these words about his flesh and heart may fail, it sounds as if he's still struggling with whatever the problem is, the health issue is. But he also knows that beyond all of this that he sees, this world that is important, and rightly so important to us, is glory. And it's been often written that in this psalm, we have there's not many glimpses of that reach beyond to what God is promising, beyond the grave. And it's there, and he knows that. And I think also that God has affirmed to him that he's still got a purpose for his life. Because the last few words, I will tell of all your deeds. That's my job. I've got to go on and do that and speak of the mighty God who loves me and cares for me. We had an incredibly good Tuesday night in St. Moran's. We had a wee gathering, folk just talking about how they came to know God and Jesus and so on. And it was interesting because a lot of the folk were, you would say, traditional church people, but they opened up remarkable stories, you know, people have, of how God found them. And we got on to talking today about just the whole issue of how we talk a lot about God, but do we talk a lot about Jesus? The one who has come from God to us. Do we really talk enough about the one who is the Saviour and the Lord? I will tell of all the wondrous deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm suggesting this morning, if you want to try reading a kilt, do that when you go out. The undercheck, the three bands, the Psalms, reading the Psalms, yes, the three big experiences on our journey, they're there in the Psalms. But it's a message also about reading your own life and your own story. And of course, as in the kilt, the other lines that get brought in, it's a unique story, your story. The colours are unique and particular to who you are. And that is the beauty of just our appreciating of one another and seeing that and recognising that. But it's the beauty also of a God who is faithful utterly through these different seasons. So let's sing. And I know it sometimes gets overused, but let's look at the words again of, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, because actually they are remarkable words that were composed here. We sing this great hymn.